This is Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and I want to welcome you to the loneliest time in thousands of years of human history. You got it, my friends. About 27.2 million Americans lived alone in 2000, according to the 2000 American Census. That accounts for about 26% of all households. That's up from 9% in 1950. Let me repeat that. 26% of people live alone today, up from 9% in 1950. Three times the percentage of people living alone in 1950, now living alone.
Do you think that people are living alone or not getting along with their roommates?
Well, they're probably having a hard time, only if they're schizophrenic. There's a higher percentage of people living alone than households with married couples with children. That's how many people there are living alone today. Loneliness is severe, especially in the larger cities. Manhattan is the number one most lonely city in all of America. 48% of all households on the island of Manhattan are single households, folks. Other single magnets include Washington, D.C., St. Louis, Denver, and San Francisco. Those are the other big single areas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are living in the most lonely time in all of human history. Remember, we have abolished the family. The family, to a great extent, does not exist. There's only a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of people actually live together, husband and wife, with children today in the modern age. Today, marriage is at a premium, my friends. People are shacking up like crazy. They move from one relationship to another. Long-term covenantal relationships gone in the modern age. Man has become a vagabond. Like Cain, he lives the unaccountable life in the city. This is the life of the postmodern, my friends. And churches are pretty much the same demographic. I kid you not, folks. Churches are filled with the vagabonds. The problem is the same in the average church. And why is this? Well, it's because the average Christian has no idea what a Christian social theory looks like. Christians don't know what the Bible says about social theory. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to reverse that trend by bringing the Bible to bear in the area of social theory. And we're saying, hey, we're coming to the loneliest time in all of human history, and we're going to renew relationships in a lost and lonely world. That's the whole point of the Generations broadcast. We're trying to renew family life and community life in the modern age, the loneliest time in the last thousands of years of human history. And we are reintroducing the concept of reintegrating the family in the area of education. Yes, people actually living together. We're talking about spending time together, discipleship rather than education, a relational form of education. I know it's weird. I know it's weird to take your children out of the institutional program and put them into the home and develop a relationship and focus on their faith and character for 18 years. I realize that's a weird form of education, but that's what we're doing. We are radicals trying to reverse this trend that's created a massive vagabond culture. That's what we're all about on this program. That's the Generations Radio broadcast. Now, we've talked about home education from time to time, but Dave, another very, very important aspect of renewing relationships in the modern age is this thing called hospitality. And hospitality is another wonderful application. It's commanded in the Bible over and over again. Be hospitable to strangers, etc., etc. Over and over again, the Bible commends bringing strangers into your home and caring for them and feeding them. This is a biblical concept, my friends. And we're talking about bringing hospitality into the church community rather than using programs, rather than slotting everybody into their own little program and put them into their own little small group that applies to their own little small, narrowly defined constraints. We're talking about bringing people into our home. So if a prostitute enters the church and says, man, I want to repent of my prostitution. I want to live a life that's right. Can you help me here? We don't put her into the small group for recovering prostitutes or the small group for twice divorced children of alcoholics or whatever. We're going to bring them to our homes and show them hospitality. And Dave, you know that's what Jesus did. Jesus crossed a universe to have dinner with publicans and sinners. And he did. He was constantly accused of eating with sinners. You know, in their homes, like Zacchaeus, he would go to their homes and sit down and have a meal with a tax collector. I realize this is just something the average pastor would hate to do. If he had some sinner come into the church, Dave, he'd put him in a small group. You know he would.
Well, and nobody wants to have dinner with an IRS agent, but that's what we're called to do.
Yeah. Yeah. This is called hospitality, folks. It's crossing boundaries and loving strangers. And it's hard to love strangers, I know. It's much easier to put them into a little group where they can conform to their own little narrowly defined interests. Okay? Like the motorcyclists for Jesus all get to be in their own little small group. All the 12-year-olds get to be in their small group. All the rebellious teens get to have their own little small group. We're not saying that. We're saying that we're going to mix and match. We're going to have some of the most unlike, disunified people, people with varied interests, and we're going to put them in one house, and we're going to eat dinner together in that house. Dave, this is radically weird, this idea of relational discipleship, relational evangelism, relational community is just something that the average person has no concept of.
Well, I think in the rest of the world, hospitality means you go out to the same restaurant or the same bar together. Now, there's food that seems to always be involved, and that's kind of a necessary element. It's necessarily involved even in the corporate world. They understand that if you're going to have a meeting and you want some sort of bonding, even at the corporate level, you're going to have to bring in catering. You're just going to have to bring in catering. But most people will go out to, say, a bar, have a drink after work, or they'll go to a restaurant. Very rarely do they bring them at home, because at home, you're vulnerable.
That's right. You open up yourself, and people begin to see the real you, and that's difficult. We're beginning to open up our hearts and connect with people, and yet this is the way God wants us discipling. Jesus discipled 12 disciples this way. He was with them. He chose them to be with him as he walked by the way and as he did his ministry. And hospitality, folks, is a lifestyle. We're commending the lifestyle. Dave, at one time, we did hospitality 3-4 times a year. That's about all we did back in the 1990s. My wife and I did very little hospitality. Now, it's 5-6 times per week we're having people over. We had Chad over here today. We got you over today. We're having a family. The Davidson family's coming over in just about an hour. He's going to be with us for lunch here this afternoon. 5-6 times a week, people come in and out of our home all the time. They're staying here. We had a family of 10 or 11, I can't remember how many there were, staying over here a few months ago on their way back from California to Missouri. We engage in hospitality constantly. We are reversing this anti-relational vagabond age. And Dave, I think there are a lot of applications to this. At one time, for example, Christians would hardly ever stay in hotels because there was so much of this phileozenia or hospitality, this love of strangers going on. Now, as strangers move through town, they stay by themselves. As these brothers that should be staying with other brothers as they're coming through town, they just stay in hotels all by themselves. And Dave, you know, this brings up a really interesting point. Before I take the break, I want to bring this out because I've just recently been meeting with some brothers in various contexts that travel a fair amount with their jobs. And you know what that's like. I mean, you did some of that in the corporate world. I did it in the corporate world. And yet, you know, they confessed to me from time to time that they gave in to pornography in those hotel rooms as they got into the life of the vagabond and they began wandering into these cities and these hotels all by themselves. You know, they did what the postmodern person does in the city life. They sink themselves into sin because of the lack of accountability and the lack of relational living as they are in these cities. And so we are talking about, you know, what to do with this. And one of the guys is talking to me, said, man, I wish I'd take my wife with me or one of my daughters or something, but that wouldn't be appropriate. And I'm working, it's hard. And I didn't think about this till this morning as I was putting this program together. But man, you know what we ought to do is we ought to have families, homes in every city across America. And when these brothers are traveling for business, you know, they ought to look up these families and stay with a godly family and receive edification. You know, encourage and build up each other in the faith in these homes. I've had some of the best experiences staying with godly families. You know, the kinds of things you learn from them and the kind of ways that I can encourage them, they can encourage me, have been just some of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life. And yet, now contrast that with the businessman that hangs out with himself and winds up with a porn problem, you know, doing his web thing or watching the X-rated movie in the hotel room. You know, it hardly even compares to this. But in order for this to happen, Dave, we're just going to need hundreds of thousands of homes to open up across America to make this kind of thing happen.
Kevin, I think the problem is immense. I read some years ago that a hotel chain, I believe it was the Marriott, reported that during pastor conferences, when they would have pastor conferences in their rooms and the rooms were booked, that the amount of adult viewing on their in-house system went up. It actually went up when the pastors were there. So if that's what's happening in the world of professional ministers, I got to think the businessman's world, it's far worse. So I think that not only are we walking into sin, but we're walking away from a blessing.
And Dave, Paul was a pastor. Elisha was a pastor, a prophet. These guys didn't stay by themselves. they would find somebody to live with. They had widows that would take care of them, or families. Remember that family opened up their house to Elisha, and Paul stayed with different people throughout his ministry. He's always talking about people he had stayed with. Always stayed with people. This is normative, my friends, for Christians who don't live the life of vagabonds, but live the life of people in relationship. They actually have brothers, and when they walk into a new city, they find a brother, and they live with that brother for a while, and you become the Paul and Silas thing or the Paul and Barnabas thing for a while, and it may just be for a week or so while they're on a business trip, but they don't live the life of the vagabond. Dave, you know, this is just the opposite of the modern world, where we're effectively replaced or institutionalized hospitality. Think about how we've institutionalized education. You know, we've institutionalized the way you do education, so we've yanked relationship out of it. We don't focus on faith and character, and we have no discipleship happening in the education centers across America. Why? Because relationships have been ripped out of education. Same thing's happened in hospitality. Think about it, Dave. This cold, institutionalized world will not have true love, will not have true, accountable, relational love in the system. That's why you have all these hotels and these restaurants and things that really don't provide love. I mean, I guess if you're buying love, maybe you're buying their love. I don't know. But that's not the way love works. This is not relational hospitality.
I mean, really, think about it. What happens when you stay with somebody? You share stories of family. There's a lot of relationships there. It's a very comforting experience. What do you get at the hotel? You get a mint on the pillow. And maybe a sign that says, no smoking.
And I'm not saying it's wrong to stay in a hotel or eat out at a restaurant, my friends. I'm just saying that, for the most part, we've abandoned the relational aspect of this, especially within the church. And because of that, we have lost relationships, and we've lost accountability, and we've lost the opportunity to develop new relationships in new cities, in homes across America. And, Dave, this is my vision. Hundreds of thousands of these homes. Now, my assistant, Chad, just says there is a small network of families out there that are doing just this. They're actually opening up their homes across America and saying there are brothers traveling this nation that are into the relational model like this. We want to open up our homes to this. And if there's anybody out there listening to this program and knows anything about anything like this going on, contact me right away at host@kevinswanson.com. I want to talk about it, because this is going to be the beginning of something I think very, very significant here. If we can open up a vast national hospitality network, especially among Christian brothers and sisters.
And Kevin, one more thing, and that is that the scripture model, the model from the scriptures, is that the disciples were sent out in pairs. Paul always had somebody with him. It is a dangerous thing to be traveling alone, not just because you're going to get robbed along the road, but because the tempter has that weak lamb now that they can pick off when you're not part of the flock. It'd be far better to travel into twos, to stay with Christians, just for the strength of the whole flock of God to surround you.
And this is what has been done for thousands and thousands of years among true women and men of faith, folks. This is the history. The history of hospitality is the history of hospitality. It was the love of strangers. It was the people that opened up their homes to the prophets and to the apostles and to traveling ministers and pastors over thousands and thousands of years. I realize this doesn't happen much anymore, because we are in one of the coldest and loneliest and anti-relationship ages you have ever seen in the history of the world. And yet we're trying to reverse this, my friends, today, bringing back the very, very simple biblical principle of hospitality. And we're going to talk about some of the dynamics of hospitality when we get back. Some of the difficulties, some of the trials and difficulties that we run into when we try to hospitalize people. And we'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents its annual Christian Family Conference June 12th through the 14th at the Denver Merchandise Mart. Speakers include Doug Phillips, Chris Klicka, Dr. Bodie Bauckham, and Dr. Norm Wakefield. Current and future business owners should attend the Entrepreneurial Mini Camp on Thursday the 12th. And don't miss the Ultimate Family Concert with the Von Trapp Children and the Colorado Wranglers Friday the 13th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK.
Back on Generations, my friends, Kevin Swanson with you, talking about trying to restore relationships in a lost and lonely world. Living the loneliest times that we've ever seen, pretty much. I mean, I'd say in thousands of years. as I read history, I don't find a period of time, Dave, when people were this lonely. I just don't. And I think it's vital that we get back into relationships. This is one way we can protect ourselves from sin, but I think in a lot of ways it really creates more of a fruitful life. It's a life I enjoy.
Well, it reflects the Trinity. The Trinity is a relational being. I don't even know how to describe it, but there's three persons in one substance. They are so close together, we say they're one substance, there's three persons. That relationship within the Trinity then becomes the model of how we are to love one another relationally.
And natural man responds negatively to relationships, and that's what Cain did. Cain killed his brother, went out and built a non-relational city, and then he became a vagabond in the earth. And that's, Dave, I think that is what has happened to postmodern man. He is incredibly lonely. He's three times more lonely than he was in 1950. That, according to the statistics that I just read, my friends, man is three times more lonely in America than he was in 1950. And he's getting more lonely all the time. Well, we're saying we don't want to be lonely anymore. We're trying to recover covenantal relational living. And Dave, I think this is part and parcel of a biblical way of life. And this is the way we're going to strengthen families and churches. We will not have strong families and churches within the Church of Christ, within the Christian church, unless we recover homeschooling, home discipleship, and home hospitality. We got to recover some form of relational living and incarnate it in some ways. Folks, the way we describe things may not be the only way to recover relational living, but you tell me how to recover it.
Kevin Cain was running away from the shame of his sin. He had murdered his brother, of course, and so he was running away from relationships with his other brother, Seth, who came along later, and his parents. He was pursuing something non-relational because of shame. How many people do you think are in our churches don't want a relationship with another, don't want them in their home because they're ashamed? They're ashamed of their sin. They're ashamed of their home. They're ashamed of their family. What are they ashamed of? You know, it's time that we say we're sinners.
Yeah.
And we don't have it right. But you know what? You're a sinner, too, and I'm willing to link arms with you.
Yeah, exactly, Dave. And you're a stinking sinner yourself, but I'm able to put up with you somehow or other. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay, folks. We are sinners, yes. But we're under the cross of Christ. We're on the track of repentance. And we've embraced Christ as our forgiveness for our sins. And maybe that gets down to the gospel here, Dave. But again, we're getting back to the subject here on hospitality, folks. In order to bring this back, to bring love back into hospitality, and instead of, you know, paying somebody to hospitalize you, that's the verb form for hospitality, let's bring love back into hospitality. And in order to do this, Dave, I think you got to rearrange the priorities of your life. We had to go back to a single family income, and there's things you have to rearrange in your life in order to accomplish the relational kind of life. And Dave, I think this is obvious with hospitality as well. You can't do as many church programs, for example, if you're going to do hospitality in your church. You can't have everybody shuffled off into small groups and something happening every night in your church. If people in the church are supposed to be doing hospitality with each other, you can't have as much entertainment, as much television in your home. All these things take away your time and your resources that might be put into hospitality. I mean, for example, instead of spending $48 on a movie at a theater on a Friday night, why don't you save the $48 and have a family over for dinner?
I think there's a lot of changes you might make. You might start cooking in bigger pots because you're going to have bigger portions for the meals. My wife has started to cook with crock pots an awful lot. It seems like the crock pot's going more often than the toaster or something that was smaller than that. You know, we have to have, of course, the biggest toaster that they make. It still doesn't go fast enough as far as we're concerned, the bigger frying pans. Particularly on Sundays, I ask her to have something that is somewhat expandable. You know, we could feed the family or we could feed three families.
Folks, if you're going to bring a relational lifestyle back into your life, you've got to make some changes. You're going to have to bring some deliberate changes into the way that you do everything. And, Dave, I'd throw in architecture on this one as well.
Absolutely. I mean, how many people have a dining room that only seats like seven people? Come on, you can't do hospitality with a dining room with seven people. You want a dining room that it can expand to hold 17 or 70 people, perhaps. You might need a lot of folding chairs. You might need a guest room. A guest room is a good thing to have. Maybe instead of having that special little den that you can hide in and have no relationship, you use that instead to have the love of strangers, to bring a stranger so they can stay in, or somebody to take care of, or the widow or the orphan. On and on it goes. I mean, you start thinking about parking.
Dave,
you know, there's some places where the neighborhood will object if you have three cars.
Oh, Dave, I walk into a house and I see an expansive open living room dining area. I know right away this family is all about hospitality. Right away you know that. We're not going to shuffle people off into their rooms. No, we're going to spend some time together. We're going to get relational with each other, and we're going to have a relationship. And more often than not, the television is not in the living room.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good key. When somebody does entertain you, you walk in there, if the television is the biggest thing and the most prominent thing in the room, you've got a pretty good idea that's the most important thing in the room. Yeah. On the other hand, if you walk in there and you see a little plaque about Jesus is the shepherd, or pictures of family, especially a lot of pictures of extended family, you have some other understanding about the value of the values that that family holds dear.
Like relationships, for example. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to live the relational lifestyle, you're going to see some changes in your life and in your living room, your architecture. Dave, also, this requires the fruit of the Spirit. And I know this is one of the hardest parts about hospitality, as it is about homeschooling. When you bring your kids back into your house, you know it's going to be messy. You're going to have relationships with them, and it's going to be painful. It always is. It's hard to work through that. But if you're going to do hospitality, you're going to invite people into your house, you got to have a lot of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and humility. Dave, you know, if you invite somebody over who's far more meticulous than you are, or richer than you are, or whatever, they're going to have to love you for who you are. And you're going to have to love them for who they are. And you might actually be humbled at some point or another, but that's okay, too.
It is okay. You know, in our house, we're not real tall people, but sometimes we've had some tall people over, and we realize after they've left that they're able to see down on surfaces that are extraordinarily dusty. Because we never see them when that doesn't dawn on us that they need to be dusted. And, well, you know what, we're just going to have to humble ourselves.
And I think this is tough on our wives as well. They want everything perfect in the home. They want their children obeying perfectly. They want everything clean. They want the best possible spread. They need a 7-course meal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in order for this company to feel like they've really been treated well, and that, you know, that we've got a house here that's in good order. But, Dave, again, that's more pride, I think, than humility. And I think we ought to be open for people even criticizing us at points, because that's what happens when you get to know people. They'll wind up criticizing something about you. Now, if you are criticized, on the one hand, if they're right in the criticism, then maybe you need to humble yourself and admit it and say, well, that's something I got to work on. If they're wrong, well, you're humbled still, and I think that's okay, too. That was what Akempis was saying. If somebody says something negative about you, you know, either way, you're humbled. If it was right, you're humbled. If it was wrong, you're still humbled, and that's good, too.
So there's a lot of humility here. Yeah. I think that cuts both ways. You know, if you're a businessman traveling and you stay with another family and they don't serve you what you were expecting for meal, maybe they have octopus for breakfast because they're Japanese or something. You know what? You might just have to smile and accept that hospitality and the manner in which it was given, and thank God for that octopi.
Exactly. Now, food choices is a big issue. I know in hospitality it comes up all the time. You know, what about the gluten-free folks? And there's more and more folks that are gluten-free and need gluten-free cooking, and there's vegetarians out there. We've had all of them in our house, you know, over time. And you know, I think you have to have some give and take in that. You know, if you don't know much about their diet, if they're brand new to you, then they ought to feel free to bring a dish that would satisfy themselves. And I think that's always open it up for them to bring something themselves. And, you know, I mean, they may not be able to eat what you have. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about that. You open up your house. You edify them. You encourage them with your words. And if they can't eat what you have, that's fine. Open it up for them to bring something themselves. And they should appreciate what you have given them as well.
That's right. I mean, if all you have is a box of Twinkies, put out the box of Twinkies.
Yeah.
And love God.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you're a guest, don't expect the host to accommodate every one of your needs. Take what you can eat, and you might volunteer to bring a dish yourself. And, you know, I don't think you need to ask them what their food preferences are necessarily. But they can certainly provide something if they would like to help out. But remember, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and humility that's important in all of this. And, Dave, I think the most important thing, again, is you're there in the hospitality to get to know them so they can get to know you, and, you know, talk about their lives, talk about how God has worked in your own life, bring out those testimonies. And I think the important thing is edify, encourage these people. There's nothing more powerful, more influential in someone's life than to come into this hospitable relational lifestyle and receive that edification and encouragement, Dave. I think that's central to what we're trying to do with hospitality. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time. Let me encourage you to grab a copy of The Hospitality Command by Alexander Strauch, one of the very best books, just a tiny booklet on hospitality. We offer it at our resource center in Parker. It's called The Hospitality Command by Alexander Strauch, and you can get a copy of that book by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK for your copy of The Hospitality Command, or you can go online and pick up that book at kevinswanson.com. Just click on store. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.